Good morning. Welcome to the public session of the IFRC Board of Trustees meeting. I call the meeting to order. We have 4 points on the agenda: report of the IFB chairman, report on the of the due process oversight committee, report on the status of the strategy review, and update on educational and publication. I just recall that yesterday the Board of Trustees appointed Mr. Chang as a new member of the Board of Trustees, a very distinguished personality from Korea, and appointed the new chair of the ISB as of end of June next year in the person of Hans Åkerborst, and a new vice chair in the person of Ian McIntosh. The three decisions were taken unanimously. They have received very positive comments from both the press and from a number of high-level personalities, such as chairwoman of the SEC, Mary Shapiro, Commissioner Barnier, and other personalities. So the meeting of the trustees yesterday was an extremely successful one. So let me start with the first of our 4 points and call on Sir David Tweedy to report as chairman of the ISB.
Thank you, Tommaso. I'm not going to go through my report in detail, but if I could just mention a few points on it. The main focus of our work is quite clearly the Memorandum of Understanding with the United States. This is very much related to the SEC's decision to adopt IFRS next year. We can have international standards without the United States, but we'll never have global standards unless we have them in. Convergence is going to be a major part of that decision, not total convergence, obviously, but moving closer together. And we have set a focus for the end of June 2011, which we did two or three years ago, for those countries that are switching to IFRS in 2011-2012, so they don't have to change twice. The G20's request to us to complete the main part of the program by then, and the fact there's going to be turnover in both the ISB and the FASB, which could have a major impact on the timetable. In June, we announced the changes to the timetable. What we looked at was issues that were important but not critical were going to be deferred in the interest of making sure we finish the rest of the program intact. There was concern that so many projects coming to an end would lead to a whole lot of exposure drafts coming out at once, and frankly, people could not be able to cope with them. It affected the United States more than it affected us. We will only have three major projects out in exposure at any one time. The latterly was revenue recognition, leases, and insurance. And if you're in insurance, you didn't have to worry about revenue recognition. So it was probably just two that we really had out. The US had also their financial instruments proposals out. They had to decide what they were going to do on consolidation. They didn't issue anything on derecognition. So they had far more to deal with than we did, but we were quite happy to agree to the change. The projects that are going to be looked at more in the future, financial statement presentation, I'll come on to this in a minute, and also liability equity distinction. Looking at the program in particular, the big issue we have is financial instruments. As you know, the FASB and ourselves very much differ in our approaches. We took a three-phased approach to it, classification and measurement. We finished a standard last year. That was to enable companies that wished to adopt 2009, calendar 2009. We dealt with financial liabilities. In fact, we will be finalizing that this month. Impairment and hedging. We've already issued an exposure draft on impairment, and we intend to issue another one next month, along with an exposure draft on hedging. The U.S. put out a comprehensive exposure draft in May of this year, which was quite different from ours, and that obviously is what we'll be talking about over the next 8 months. The two key differences are the fact that under FASB, almost everything is at fair value on the balance sheet. We don't do that. Their impairment models are not quite so forward-looking as ours and take the entire loss up front, whereas we take it over the lifetime of the portfolio. FASB has got more than 2,500 letters as a result of its exposure draft. Widespread disagreement that fair value information is relevant. Agreement that it is relevant, but disagreement that it's relevant for loans, deposits, and entities' own debt. Massive opposition there. They agree that the incurred loss model should be changed, but there is mixed views about how it should be changed. The next steps are there's going to be five FASB roundtables with preparers, users, auditors, and regulators to be held this month. We will participate and listen to what's going on. In November, we will have educational sessions on impairment, our impairment model, which we're developing. And then we intend to spend 3 days talking about nothing else but impairment with the FASB in an attempt to see if we can actually end up with one project. Whatever we do, we feel we have to expose it because we do realize there were problems with our old one. Revenue recognition, the boards are pretty well aligned in that. The US had numerous requirements, over 200. We had some rather vague principles, and this is trying to wrap them all up into one cohesive standard. Basically, you recognize revenue when you hand something over to a customer. It might sound pretty elementary, but of course, when does that actually happen is the case. Fair value measurement, we've been looking at that quite extensively as part of the financial instruments proposals. Dealing in particular with illiquid markets, which we've built into the standard. This sort of, in a way, rounds off a package. IFRS 9 has been well received. It's already accepted in Japan, South Africa, Hong Kong, Australasia, and being used there. Much simpler than 39. Two categories. If you know what the cash flows are and you're holding the instrument to get those cash flows, you can have it at cost. Anything else is at fair value, which means derivatives, exotic instruments, equities will be at fair value. That has been well received. The US, as you know, have got full fair value, and that leads to quite different answers. On the liability side, we were told that actually there weren't really many problems with what we had. We accepted that. And the finalization that's taking place this month is just going to move our liability rules out of 39 into IFRS 9 with one exception, and that is gains and losses on changes in your own credit status are going to go through other comprehensive income and not through profit. And we've been asked to do that. On impairment, we issued probably the first proposal worldwide on expected losses last November. We set up a group to help us with that. This group consisted of credit experts, systems experts. And what we discovered was the point that Eve made yesterday, that it wasn't actually operational the way it was structured. So we're proposing quite major changes to it, keeping the sort of overall philosophy. But we discover by making changes, we can avoid massive systems changes. So instead of asking people to keep changing the effective interest rate, we'll keep the initial effective interest rate, but get people to marry that with their credit loss system. So we're not going to push the two systems together, we'll keep them separate, and they will reconcile the two. We're probably going to move into an area of good book, bad book, so that it's easier to spot the bad loans and how you deal with them. We're discussing how we deal with changes in estimates to the expected losses. We're almost certain, I think, to bring in a floor. Whatever your estimate is, it can't be less than your incurred loss provisions. And also giving more guidance and what you take into account when you look into the future. We're not asking companies to forecast the next recession. It's just what is visible, and then you apply a trend line to it. On hedging, we are trying to develop an entirely new model, which so far has proved to be quite popular with companies we've sounded it out on, tied to the risk management system, so it's very much business model based. The effectiveness rules is 80% effectiveness, or you can't do hedge accounting. We're abolishing that. We're going to help non-financial companies do hedging. It's very difficult to hedge things like jet fuel, because there isn't a jet fuel derivative, but there is one for the oil component. So can we isolate the oil component and let them hedge that? The other aspect is, outside the United States, there is a problem with hedging in the sense that we don't allow hedges of hedges. So that if you're a Japanese company and you hedge, you almost certainly have to use a dollar derivative, and then you've got the yen dollar currency problem. We will allow you to hedge that problem. And the presentation, partly because of the Korean shipbuilders, we will change to simplify. Moving on, other areas we're looking at, leases. Present, I've often said, much to the airline's annoyance, that one of my big ambitions is to fly in an aircraft that's actually an airline's balance sheet. And the reason is we have hedging rules that actually allow you to keep them off balance sheet if you don't really lease for most of the life of the asset. The fact is, if you have a lease, you're committed to payments. These payments consist of return of loss of capital and interest. That is equivalent to a loan, and that's how we intend to show them. Both boards agree with that. There is really no difference between us. We did agree in lessors. The ISB really believes that if you lease, say, an aircraft for half of its life, you should take half of it and show it as a receivable, and the other half, the residual aircraft that's on the balance sheet. FASB want to leave the aircraft on, show the receivable as well, and so we don't have two assets for the one, then show an obligation to let somebody have the aircraft as a liability, and they would net the three of them. We've exposed and we've asked questions, so it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is. I rather suspect the reaction is going to favour our position rather than FASB. Insurance contracts. This has been a major project for us. Warren was chairman of the old IESC's insurance working party, which met for several years and ended up with a discussion paper, which the IESB was presented with when we started. Frankly, we didn't understand it. And after a year of trying to understand it, we gave up and started another project. And 9 years later, we're back to where that discussion paper was. So we really feel we've got to try and finish this in the next year, or we're going to inflict this on the next board, who will spend another 8 or 9 years trying to understand it. So it is complicated. It is very different. We have exposed this. Views are divided, but they've always been divided. We will never get unanimity in the insurance industry. So we have to accept that and do what we think is the right thing. The Americans are running at least a year behind us on this one, and what I suspect, at least what I would recommend to the board we do, is we put the effective date for this well out into the future, maybe 3 years, 4 years out, so that if the Americans find a fatal flaw, we've time to change before companies have got involved. We're going to have arguments over what we do about financial instruments. This is particularly in Germany, Clemens, we've heard it. The insurance companies don't want their long-term investments mixed up with trading. They want to go back to the old IAS 39 rules. We are pretty determined that isn't going to happen, but we are discussing alternative presentations in the income statement to perhaps solve their problems for them. So we're going to negotiate with them on that that issue. Consolidations, we're ready to go. We differ with the US in the sense that while we agree on how to deal with special purpose vehicles, there is a disagreement, though not necessarily with FASB, but more with the US financial community, over when you consolidate voting subsidiaries, normal subsidiaries. We find it inconsistent to say that you actually consolidate a special purpose vehicle because you have power to control it, but you don't do that with a normal subsidiary. So we have the same rules for both. In America, for voting subsidiaries, you have to have 50% plus one of the equity. And for 20-odd years, FASB has been trying to change that, and for 20-odd years, they've failed. It's worth thinking, if this was a child, it'd be voting by now, but they just cannot get this thing through, and it's a major problem for them. So they are going to consider whether to put it out as an exposure draft. They're going to have round tables later this month or next. We will listen to what happens at those round tables, decide if we need to change our draft. If not, we'll just publish it. But we intend to go ahead regardless. Derecognition, that's securitization. We did expose a year ago a simplified model. It wasn't very popular. And we started to find out from the national standard setters that during the crisis, our rules on securitization worked very well. So we're not going to change them. But what we are going to do is give much more information about off-balance sheet risks. That we have actually published last week. So that one is finished, as far as we are concerned. We are now pretty close to FASB, and that is one of the MOU subjects that we can claim as being done. The two subjects that we deferred, liabilities and equity, it looks as if the US is moving towards our standard, but our standard does need some changes. And at present, the two boards are debating whether to address specific problems with IAS 32, and then that would be adopted by the US, or whether we just make targeted improvements both to US GAAP and to IFRS. So that's the decision we're still to take. On financial statement presentation, there are problems with the direct cash flow method. People don't like it. Balance sheet presentation is pretty complicated. In fact, you have to have a note telling what your total assets are. There is a sort of principle running through it, which perhaps has been over-engineered on the cohesiveness principle. Everything should run through the balance sheet, cash flow, income statement. And we are now listening to the comments of those who have looked at this draft, and then we'll discuss towards the end of this year where we go forward with this particular project, but there isn't a great rush for it. Other subjects, Antonio will be delighted to hear that we looked at the comments on IAS 37. Our view is, having heard them, that we should not finalise on the basis of the present exposure draft. We should consider the comments and then we should expose the whole thing again. The whole standard, not just the bits that we change. Whether we can do that by June is debatable. It might be the new board has to do that. Three other areas. Management commentary. We were asked to do this. It's based on the MD&A, the Operating and Financial Review. We didn't want to make this an IFRS because some jurisdictions don't allow this sort of statement, and that would mean they would have to move outside and say they couldn't comply, instead of which we put it out as a, if you like, a statement of best practice. We've called it an IFRS practice statement. But this is built on the US proposals, the British proposals, the German, Canadian, New Zealand proposals. It's a synthesis of all of those. And has been very popular. In fact, we didn't even change it from the exposure draft. So we intend to publish that in the next few weeks. Rate-regulated industries, huge division of view there. If a regulator says you can change your prices next year to recover some costs, is that an asset or not? Half the world says yes and half the world says no. And half the board says yes and half the board says no. So this will be up for, as we say, further research, which means, Hans, this is yours. Income taxes, that needs a complete review. We suggested some amendments, and we're going to put through one or two Hong Kong, Marvin will get relief from the fact that they had to provide for income tax when they didn't pay any. I've often said this was the standard that was written at the FASB Christmas party, and when they sobered up, somebody had published it. This is one that really has to go, and one of my big regrets, because I've always voted against this thing, is that I haven't managed to get rid of it. But this is on the agenda for the next one. Shall I stop there? I mentioned briefly due process, but that's as far as the technical side is concerned, and I'll ask for questions. Eve, do you want to come in?
I'm always quite close involved in the standard, and I'd like to be clear, David, if you can say to me, inside MOU, what are the main standards which is in a good track, and what are the standards which have led a lot of difficulties, and outside MOU, same classification, standards we are positive and optimistic to have a standard before the end of 11, and other standards with problems.
Okay, thanks, Eve. The ones that are going to be difficult to do, financial instruments clearly, because we have major divisions with the United States, and we may not be able to agree. That's going to be difficult. Consolidations, we can finish that. We will finish that. It may be different from the US again, because they do something the rest of the world doesn't want to do. Derecognition, we've finished, and that is pretty well aligned. Fair value measurement, we will be almost word for word in the first quarter. That will be done. Pensions, we will finalise that standard again in the first quarter. That will move us pretty close to the US. Not entirely there, but much, much closer than we are at present. Then we have another revenue recognition, which again will go to the end of June to finish. The boards actually agree on that one, but we do know we have problems with the construction industry and we have to fix that. So I think we can do that, Eve, but and also agree it. Leases, we will agree in lessees, I think. We may not agree in lessors. And if lessors is holding it up, I would propose we finalise leases and then let the lessors be dealt with a few months later. It's not so important. It's on balance sheet, but lessees is not. Insurance will be difficult. We're well ahead of the Americans, and there are issues with that, and that's why I propose we put the effective date out. So if we do find a fatal flaw from the Americans catching up with us, we have time to change before companies alter. Outside the MOU, we've really parked a lot of these projects on the basis that this is not the time to do them. IS 37, we have a much more modern standard than the Americans. They're based on a standard that dates from about mid-1970s. So ours is much, much more modern than that. There'll be resistance there to change it in the United States because they like the nice old-fashioned standard they've got. Other ones, Warren?
You mentioned rate regulation. That's outside the MOU. There's a emission trading scheme, which we are moving, I think, cautiously. It's not an easy topic to reach agreement on. The big issue there is you receive an emission right, which we all agree is an asset. The problem is, how do you account for the other side? Is it a gain on day one, or is there a liability? And if there's a liability, what's the nature of the liability? And then how do you measure that liability? So we've spent quite a lot of time discussing issues around emissions trading. At the last board meeting, we reached a view that there is a liability of a particular character, and at the meeting this month, we're going to talk about measurement of that liability. So that's proceeding, but I think when we put that on the agenda, we thought that we needed to have that done next year. Things have changed in various parts of the world in terms of the timing of introducing emission trading schemes, and we don't have the same urgency, but there is an expectation that that gets done as soon as we can possibly get it done.
Are there any other questions, Sam?
Yeah. David, the to continue on Eve's question, financial statement presentation was an MOU project, and you basically agreed to, as you said earlier, agreed to restudy that issue. Joint ventures was an MOU project, and you're issued there, aren't you?
No, we're holding that to issue it along with consolidation. We've finished it, really, and that moves us closer to the U.S.
So you are agreed on joint ventures, and then the financial instruments with equity characteristics. That was an MOU project as well, and you will have an exposure draft in 2011.
We're deciding what to do with that one. We did put out a document which wasn't well received in the U.S., mainly because there's lots and lots of guidance, Sam, and we don't want to put lots and lots of guidance back into our standards. And it's based on our standards, so we're really saying, do we need to make the principle clearer? So we don't want to rush it, but broadly speaking, for IFRS users, the changes will not be major. So we're not rushed about it.
Yeah, I am asked often by the trustees, trying, just as Eve has done, help us understand, and there is a great worksheet in our papers, Agenda Item 7A, that lays out the work plan very well. And I think when you go through this, David, those nine projects, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that are substantially either done or agreed to collectively defer and settle in 2011 or 2012. And it's really only financial instrument, and that is a considerable issue. There's a bunch of other ones. So I just suggest to the trustees, I actually carry that sheet around with me all the time because people ask, where are we? And it's a good presentation. I don't read it all the time, but I do carry it around all the time.
You're a very sad person, Sam.
Clemens?
David, I have a question on fair value on own debt. Question number one is, your concept, is it an option or mandatory? And secondly, how do you deal with the first-time adoption then of the new standard? You distinguish between, if I understand it correctly, interest and credit spread. And the ones who have used the fair value option and have recognized huge gains because their credit spread widened. How you deal with that when they have to go to the new center?
I'm trying to think. Basically, if I remember rightly, the initial one, they just go back 1 year, Warren, is it? They obviously do it retrospectively, I think. And when it comes through, it goes into other comprehensive income. It is mandatory. So unless there's a mismatch. So we have to be careful because some people have chosen the fair value option to mark to market to get rid of a mismatch. We then take a piece out, we end up with another mismatch. So we've set out criteria for mismatches, which we've tested. So if there's a mismatch, you don't take it out. You note it, but you don't take it out. And the reason would be if the assets were related to the liability. So it might be the amount the company has to pay out is determined by the amount on the liability. So to pull a number out of that would just cause a problem. So that's what it says.
Bob? Thank you, Chairman. Sam, just to put a point on what you said, as I understand it, what you said is that of the nine issues in the MOU, two have been deferred as not immensely pressing, and have been deferred for a year, perhaps beyond the 2011 date. And of the other seven, you expect to reach effective convergence on five of those seven, but on two of them, you're not likely to. One of them is financial instruments, where you feel that the approach you take of two buckets and not full fair value is one that's received wider acceptance. The other is consolidation. Thank you.
We'll still try to get convergence on it, Bob, but that's the one that's at risk.
Sam said, it strikes me that it's very useful for us to know the sort of summary scorecard, and that backing off, that's quite a remarkable performance on convergence.
Any other questions or comments? David, do you want to add any final
comments? Yeah, I'd like just to thank you for the good paper of the report.
Thanks, Eve. The only thing just to mention for the future, two things. One is given the weight of exposure drafts and standards that are coming now, we are issuing a paper along with FASB saying this is what's coming in 2011. When do you want us to make these effective? We do understand that it will cause a major problem for certain companies. So we're asking, do you want them in batches or dribbled out or one big bang? What do you want? We will undoubtedly allow any country switching to adopt instantly if they wish, rather than change twice. And the next thing, which is probably important when we discuss with the monitoring board, as we've agreed in the constitution, for the first time, we will be free to pick our agenda. And we are going to put out a paper saying, here's the criteria that we use for agenda selection, and we've discussed that with Antonio's committee. Here are issues, here's the sort of arguments for doing them, what do you think? And we will bring that back once we get the comments to the advisory council, to Antonio's committee, and then to the full trustees before the board takes over its agenda. And I suggest Hans should chair that bit of the board meeting, quite frankly, because this is going to be his agenda, not mine.
Thank you very much. No other comments or questions. Thank you, David, for this excellent report and presentation, and even more for the work that is represented through this report.